Huh? No sound? 302. Let's all take our songbooks, turn to page 302. By the way, welcome to North Gainesville Baptist Church. Page 302, sing the first and last verse of How Wonderful It Is to Be a Christian. 302.
Life has purpose now it never had before. There is meaning to each day and even more. For a joy and peace I can't explain is mine, since I've found new life in Christ my Lord divine. Oh, it is wonderful to be a Christian. Oh, it is wonderful to be God's child. Oh, it is wonderful to have my sins forgiven. Oh, it is wonderful to be redeemed, justified, forever reconciled.
On the last.
And the hope of heaven's glories thrills me so, where I live with Christ forevermore I know. That is why the things of earth I loosely hold, I've eternal riches better far than gold. Oh, it is wonderful to be a Christian. Oh, it is wonderful to be God's child. Oh, it is wonderful to have my sins forgiven. Oh, it is wonderful to be redeemed, justified, forever reconciled.
Would you want to be anything else but a Christian?
Man,
I tell you what. I was on vacation a little bit last week and got to see some sights and see some folks. And I can tell you, this old world's miserable. They're looking for love and satisfaction in every which way, every which a place. And they're not going to find it, are they? Except for in Jesus Christ alone. Thank God we're saved this morning. Born again, blood washed, on our way to heaven. Praise God for what he has done for us. Let us pray. Lord, we do thankful tonight to be in your house on this Wednesday night. We can come together as brothers and sisters in Christ, Lord, and praise your dear name. Thank you for these dear hymns that we can sing. And we thank you for your love and your mercy. Thank you, Lord, that we can be called Christians. Thank you we can be identified with Jesus Christ and what he's done on the cross. Lord, I pray, God, you'd help us to be more like him every day. And from the teaching and preaching of your word, Lord, help us just to get a little closer. If there's anything in our life, Lord, that is bothersome to you, Lord, it is hindering the ministry of the gospel of Jesus Christ, Lord God, help us to forsake it and help us to love you more. Thank you for all you've done for us. And bless tonight, we ask in Jesus' name. Amen. You may be seated. So good to see you tonight. Appreciate Brother Pete preaching last Wednesday night, Brother Clayton preaching last Sunday morning, Sunday night. So glad that I know when I leave, got good folks preaching and teaching the Word of God. That is such a relief to me. I'm thankful for us. Thankful for that. Now don't forget, folks, we will have several things coming up, of course. Hard to believe, Easter is about a week and a half away. It will be here before we know it. And Palm Sunday, of course, this Sunday. Easter morning, we're going to have a morning breakfast. It will be at 9:45, so I hope you come out for that breakfast, of course, communion that evening. And so we'll have a meal before and after the main service that day, and looking forward to that. Of course, Easter is a good time to invite folks. People come to church more than they'll ever come at Christmas time and Easter time. So if you have folks that you work with, I encourage you to invite them out on those 2 days. We have a baby shower for Caitlin Hutchinson coming up on April the 6th at 11 a.m. Friday the 12th, the Phoebe Spring Auction at 6:30. Don't forget that, ladies. The 13th coming up, but church-wide visitation going out from 10 to 12. Invite you to come out with us as we go out through the highways and hedges, compel them to come into God's house. April 14th, we'll have a pie social after the evening service. A little fellowship and food. Men's fish fry coming up on April the 20th for men. And have some good food and good fellowship. Have a devotional. Looking forward to that. We are, as I mentioned, working on our directory. If you haven't filled out the directory, your information that maybe wasn't on the last directory, let me encourage you to do so. Of course, we're still working on our faith promise. If you have not filled out your faith promise and turned it in, let me encourage you to do so. It's important that we do. And you say, well, I know it's a little bit confusing because we had missions conference a little sooner than we had before. We usually do. We usually been having it in the fall. This time, of course, we had it just a few weeks ago. But basically, if you would just turn out that little piece of paper, that little slip, and tell us what you're planning on giving to missions from now to next April. What is your, by faith, what you believe God wants you to give to missions, whether a one-time gift or a weekly gift or a monthly gift. What are you planning right now to give to missions? Pray about it and turn that slip in. That way we know how many missionaries we can support above and beyond what we already support. So I pray about that, and if you would turn those in soon, it would greatly help us. Brother Chuck?
All right. Take your songbooks, turn to page 55. Double nickel. 55, we'll sing the first, second, last verse at the cross.
Alas, and did my Savior bleed, and did my Sovereign die? Would he devote that sacred head for such a worm as I? At the cross where I first saw the light, and the burden of my heart rolled away. It was there by faith I received my sight, and now I am happy all the day. Was it for crimes that I have done, he groaned upon the tree? Amazing pity, grace unknown, and love beyond degree. At the cross where I first saw the light, and the burden of my heart rolled away. It was there by faith I received my sight, and now I am happy all the day. On the last, but drops of blood can ne'er repay the debt of love I owe. Dear Lord, I give myself away, 'tis all that I can do. At the cross where I first saw the light, and the burden of my heart rolled away. It was there by faith I received my sight, and now I am happy all the day.
All right, let's all shake hands with Brother Richard. All right. Took a little while to get around this evening to everybody. I was wondering if I'm the only one got this thing. My wife hadn't changed her laundry detergent or nothing, but my jacket's shrinking.
Yeah, me too.
I don't know what in the world. Brother Marty said he had the same thing. That's what it must be. But she hadn't changed no detergent or nothing. Anyway, let's all take the songbooks and turn to page 268. Let's sing the first, second, last verse, page 268, My Redeemer.
I will sing of my Redeemer and his wondrous love to me. On the cruel cross he suffered from the curse to set me free. Sing, oh, sing of my Redeemer. With his blood he purchased me. On the cross he sealed my pardon, paid the debt and set me free. I will tell the wondrous story, how my lost estate to save. In his boundless love and mercy, he the ransom freely gave. Sing, oh, sing of my Redeemer. With his blood he purchased me. On the cross he sealed my pardon, paid the debt and made me free.
And the last.
I will sing of my Redeemer and his heavenly love to me. He from death to life hath brought me, Son of God, with him to be. Sing, oh, sing of my Redeemer. With his blood he purchased me. On the cross he sealed my pardon, paid the debt and made me free.
Amen. It's good to be free. Amen. Free from sin. Free from all the struggles and strife that sin causes, because we're chained to it. But once you're saved, you're no longer chained to it. You don't have to sin. You choose to sin, but you don't have to sin. Before I was saved, man, we struggled all the time, didn't we? But now that we're saved, we have the Holy Spirit, have the Word of God, and it changes us and shapes us more to the image of Christ. Praise God for it. Well, that's sermon number two. I thought I'd just go ahead and add that. Brother Eric, would you pray for a tithes and offering tonight? Amen. Amen. You may be seated. Nehemiah chapter 2 this evening. Been going through the book of Nehemiah last couple weeks. And of course we've looked at the first chapter, his prayer. His prayer, because as we looked at, his brethren had reported back to him. He got message that the walls of Jerusalem, his place of his forefather's birth had been destroyed. It troubled him greatly. We talked about the importance of prayer and how to pray, the pattern of prayer, the path to prayer. We talked about that for a couple of weeks. Of course, we know this is after the time of Ezra and the time where they went back because of the exile. They were in the Israel was in exile because of their sin. Sin always breaks fellowship with God, and whenever there's sin, there's consequences to sin. People seem to think right now you can do wrong and nothing happens. You can just go out there and do whatever you want and however you don't want to whoever you want, and there's no problem. No, there's consequences to sin. That consequences might not be right now, but dear friend, they will come down the pipe because God is alive and he judges sin. Thank God for Jesus Christ who paid for our sin on that old rugged cross. And that's why we focus on the Resurrection Sunday here in a couple weeks. But because of Israel's sin, they were in captivity for 70 years, of course, delivered. Ultimately went back in three different waves back to their homeland, specifically to Jerusalem. And we looked at already through Ezra and what they've done already in two different waves. Now they're going to come back in a third different wave under Nehemiah. And we're seeing the beginning of this in Nehemiah chapter 2. Nehemiah chapter 2, before we begin, let's have a word of prayer. Our Father, we're just thankful for tonight. We're thankful for your word. We pray, Lord, that you would just help us as we look to your word. I pray that you would help us to know you better, to understand you better, to grasp your word better so we could glorify you in everything we say or do. Whether we eat, drink, or whatsoever we do, may we do all to the glory of God. We just ask you, bless tonight. Give us ears to hear, Lord, and whatever you ask us to do, may we simply obey it. I pray in Jesus' name. Amen. I read about recently, one night in 1840, two slaves from Kentucky slipped out of the back of their shack into the darkness. Husband and wife left their plantation and soon was on their way to freedom. They left the bluegrass state and went all the way up to Canada, way up there in the white tundra of the world. And they lived. The man was very industrious, a businessman, and did well for himself and his wife. And this couple had a son in 1843. They named him after one of their favorite people in the Bible, called Elijah. Called him Elijah. And they were very prosperous. They were able actually to send him to a school in Edinburgh, Scotland. So they must have done pretty good up there in Canada. He graduated, moved back to Detroit. He went from Scotland to Detroit. What a change of scenery. From the beautiful meadows of Scotland to the industrial, place in America. I won't go further than that. But he found work at a place called the Michigan Central Railroad. And in those days, the machinery was stopped every day to be oiled. I didn't actually think about this. But I realized in those days they had to stop the machinery to be oiled. So this man named Elijah, he designed a steam engine lubricator that could lubricate the engines in operation. This course helped them not having to stop every day, but actually as they were going down the way to receive the lubrication. He actually received a patent for his discovery. He didn't stop there. He actually got 42 more patents in his inventions of lubrications, which were used around the world. Of course, other people tried to copy his inventions, but every time they tried to copy, it did not meet the standard. Elijah's inventions were superior, and they wouldn't settle for nothing but the original. Interesting, though, Elijah's name was McCoy. He was a real McCoy. A real McCoy. When you're reading about Nehemiah, you're seeing somebody who is real. You ever meet somebody and you know first when you see them, they're real? You know, they are what they are. What you see is what you get. They're not behind the scenes, you know, saying one thing here, then behind the scenes saying something different. What you see is what you get. And when you're reading about Nehemiah, and one of the things I love about the Word of God, it just tells you the good, the bad, and the ugly. It just tells you the truth because it's the Word of God. And we're reading about Nehemiah chapter 2, verses 1 through 8. We see the good about Nehemiah, his compassion, but we all see his frailty. But that's just transparency. And Nehemiah was a very transparent person as we read these verses about Nehemiah. We'll see that even more and more. He had great strengths, but he had great weaknesses. And that's all of us, right? We have areas in our life that are commendable, and maybe some areas in our life that maybe not so commendable. Think about the life of David, man. You go from the greatest to slaying the giant to the worst thing he could do, and having a relationship with Bathsheba and killing the wife of Uriah the Hittite, and then after that naming of the army, where 70,000 people were killed. I mean, he did some wonderful things, and he did some terrible things. And probably our best days and our worst days should not judge who we really are, because that's really not who we are. Who we are the type of people like we are when we get up tomorrow morning hopefully before noon. And we do that every day, after every day, after every day, after every day. That's, you know, who we actually are. You know, so that's who we actually are. But chapter 2 changes everything in the life of Nehemiah. Let's look at it. We see it here. You see it on the screen, but you look at your Word of God. That's actually Nehemiah. The other guy wasn't Nehemiah. That was Elijah McCoy. The Bible says here in verse 1, chapter 2, and it came to pass in the month of Nisan, the 12th year of Artaxerxes, the king, the wine was before him. I took up the wine and gave it to the king, and now I had not been before time sad in his presence. Interesting statement. Verse 2, therefore the king said unto me, why is thy countenance sad, seeing thou art sick? This is nothing else but sorrow of heart. Then I was very sore afraid. So for 4 months he's been praying to God for deliverance, for an idea about what he's going to do. And now he's getting to the point where he needs to say something to the king. He wants to say something to king. He's bothered about it. He's burdened about it. But the opportunity hasn't come up. And of course, you know, he's the cupbearer. He's a very important person to the king, because if this person's not right and he's not acting right and he's not on, dotting his I's and crossing his T's and making sure he's where he should be and doing what he shouldn't be, that can endanger the king. So this person, you know, Nehemiah was very important to the king. So he sees the situation that he's in. And there's 4 months. He's working up to this. And what does the king do? He begins to ask, question. Why is the countenance sad? Why art thou sick? Is there nothing else? A sorrow in thy heart. Now he had not been this way before. Beforehand he was composed, had composure. He was fine, but he got to the place where he just couldn't hold it anymore. You ever got in that situation where you could maybe, as they say, fake it till you make it, but something burdens your heart to the place of ultimately you just can't fake it no more. You just can't hold it in anymore. You got to say something to somebody. Maybe it's a prayer request. Maybe it's a burden. Maybe it's a struggle. Maybe it's a temptation. Maybe it's a trial. And a lot of times we try to hold that thing in. You know, a lot of times we come to church, we see each other and say, how you do? Well, I'm doing good. How you? Half the time, that's a lie. Isn't that true? Half the time we look at each other and say to each other, we're fine. And really, if we're honest with each other, we would probably spend about 45 minutes telling us our burdens of our heart. You know, but we're just cordial and say, hi, how are you? I'm doing good. How are you? But oftentimes, we really, if we were honest here, we could probably have 2 hours or 3 hours of testimonies of the burden of your heart. Maybe a pain or sorrow that you're struggling with tonight, or difficulty. Someone, maybe a son or daughter that's going through something, or maybe a sickness or a financial issue or a problem in your life that nobody else knows about, that you maybe even be embarrassed to share, you know, maybe even publicly. But it burdens you. And this is the place that Nehemiah, he had this great burden for his homeland. And he prayed to God and prayed to God and prayed to God. But now he just couldn't hold it back. It was affecting his countenance. It was affecting who he was. And dear friend, I tell you, when we get in those spots, it's not good to hold it in. First thing, cry out to God. You know, the Bible says, cast your burden on the Lord, doesn't it? You know, confess your, go ahead, cry out to God.
He knows your heart. He knows your situation. But just like your earthly father, should we not go to our heavenly Father and cry out to Him and tell Him of our burdens and our sorrows and our struggles? Many of you have been praying for a man I met a few weeks ago named Dallas Hallam. I met him just from a lady who looked up our church. It was a King James Bible Church in Gainesville, Florida. And they lady got in contact with me and said, hey, would you go visit some friends down in Shands? This man's close to death. Would you go pray for him? And I did about 2 weeks ago, went down and started praying for him. And they said at the time he was the sickest man at Shands. He had so many machines hooked up to him, wires and every which of thing. It was just, I looked at that man, I said, that guy, that dear brother, he's going to heaven soon. I mean, he looked in pitiful shape. Today I went and prayed with him. He's walking down the aisles. He's walking down the hallways of Shands right now. I just couldn't believe. If we pray about it, do we actually believe in prayer? Do we believe the effectual fervent prayer of a righteous man availeth much? You've been praying for him. I've been praying for him. I put him on social media. Well, he's got prayer folks all over the world. And God's been doing a wondrous thing in his life, and it's a miraculous thing. And it's to the glory of God. And some of those folks there at Shands, I'm sure they look at that and say, wow, can they believe where he was 2 or 3 weeks ago to where he is now walking down? Oh, how wonderful it is to share what God has done. And how wonderful it is to share our burdens. The Bible says there in verse 3, and he said unto the king, let the king live forever. Why should not my countenance be sad when the city, the place of my father's sepulcher, lieth in waste, and the gates thereof are consumed with fire? Oh, he was fine where he was. Remember, he was in Shushan, where Esther would be. He's in a comfortable place. He's in a palace. But he's talking about his brethren. He's talking about his forefathers. The place where they were at, it was being destroyed. It's nowhere near where God wanted it to be. You know, it's easy for us to be comfortable here in our padded pews and air conditioned, but here, folks, there's places all over the world that are in trouble tonight. I mean, they're in trouble. Does it burden your heart to think about people around you as you see them going through difficulties and going through trials? That is why one of the blessings of going on door-to-door visitation. Unless you purposely go out and knock on doors and see people where they are, you don't really get a burden for people. Because in this old life, what do? You go to the store, you come back. You have a mission. Well, you men do. You ladies, that's a different story. That's a different sermon altogether. Okay, I'm not going to get on that sermon. Okay, but you men, you go in there, you need a tool, you go and you get it most of the time. You go shop a little bit, but you go get your tool. We're in, we're out, we don't talk, we don't see, we just do our thing, we come back. But when you're on visitation and you knock on somebody's door and you see them in their sin, you see the crying, the weeping, the wailing, and sometimes the gnashing of the teeth. But it helps you to get a burden for folks. That's why I encourage every person, if you can, to go out and knock on some doors and see people in their need. In their need. People need the Lord. But we get so busy, so focused on our projects that are at home or even things that need to be done around here that we don't see the burden that's out there, the needs that people have. And Nehemiah just couldn't hold it anymore. He had to say what was on his heart. That his city, the place of his father, the sepulchers, lieth in waste, and the gates thereof consumed with fire. He was being genuine. He was being real. And I'm glad we have some real folks in the world. Look at verse 4, and the king said unto me, For what dost thou make request? Now, it's not only, okay, I see you're sad. What's going to be the request? God's began to work in the heart of this heathen king here in verse 4. So what does he do? Look at the end. So I pray to the God of heaven. I'm sure he's been thinking this whole time, what am I going to say to the king? What am I going to say to the king? What am I going to say to the king? But now the king asks, okay, what do you want me to do? What's your request? And now he has to actually say something. You know, he's got to say it just right because he has a great need and he's going to make a petition to the king. He has a great need and he wants to get everything right. So what does he do? He prays to the God of heaven. You ever been in those situations where you just need to pray? I mean, you got to a spot where, you got to pray. A few weeks ago, I sent my I sent my taxes off by mail to the postal service, and that needs prayer right there. You, yeah, just because you send something doesn't mean actually it's going to get there. I sent it, you know, postage right, certified. Then I went on. I got a little notice on my email that it was supposed to be in a certain place. Then I looked at the tracking number, and it said it was returned. I began to pray to the God of heaven. But I looked at that tracking number again, Brother Pete. It was the wrong tracking number. I looked at the right tracking number, and I found it. It was delivered. He answered the prayer right then. The problem was not them. The problem was me. Remember Peter? They're out there on the Sea of Galilee. The storm had come, and the boat was rocking back and forth. It was late and early in the morning. These seasoned fishermen like Peter, James, and John, they're out there on their boat, but they're scared to death because the seas were tempestuous. Remember that story? Well, they look up and see Jesus, and they think it's a ghost. Peter gets up, starts walking on water. But then he starts looking, he gets his eyes off Jesus, as we often do in life, don't we? We get our eyes off Jesus, start looking at the waves, start looking at the circumstances, start looking at what people say to us, start reading about what people say on social media, start looking at the politics, looking at our financial statement. We start looking at all the problems of life. We get our eyes off God, get our eyes on our problems, and we begin to sink. And what does he pray? He doesn't pray. He doesn't pray the Lord's Prayer. He says two words, Lord, help me. Three words, Lord, help me. He says, help. Not a long prayer. You ever been in that circumstance where you just need God to help you? This is where Nehemiah was. But God was going to do something special through this heathen king. Why? Because the Bible says in Proverbs 21:1, the king's heart is in the hand of the Lord as the rivers of water. He turneth it whithersoever he will. Dear friend, don't you think the president's control of the United States of America, God's in control. God's still on the throne. Jesus is still king. Everything's going to be all right. It's going to be fine, no matter what CNN says. If you listen to CNN, I got to have a little word of prayer with you afterwards anyways. We might want to have a little chat about what you're actually watching. Don't look at all that crazy stuff. Man, don't worry about what they're saying on the news. Get the good news of the Word of God. That's going to encourage you. That's going to help in your life. Oh, so he prays to the God of heaven in verse 4. Oh, how wonderful it is to be able to go to God and pray. Oh, Nehemiah chapter 2, verse 5. Then I said to the king, it pleases the king, thy servant hath found favor in thy sight. Thou wouldst send me to Judah and to the city of my father's sepulchers that I may build it. He wanted to go back. He wanted to go back. He wanted to do something. He didn't just say, you know what, there's a great need. We need to send other people out there to go meet that need. No, he said, no, king, if it please thee, and if thy servant have found favor in thy sight, and thou wouldest send me unto Judah. A lot of times we say, well, we want those folks to reach the gospel, meet people with the gospel. We want the leadership of the church to reach folks with the gospel. No, dear friends, who should reach people with the gospel? It's not just me, it's we. We, each of us, should be striving to reach people with the gospel of Jesus Christ. Just pick up a tract and give it to somebody. Tell somebody about what God has done in your life. Look at verse 6. The king said to me, and the queen also sitting by him, for how long shall be thy journey? Be? How shall thy journey be? And when without return, and it pleased the king to send me, and I set a time. He had a plan. He wasn't just up there saying, okay, Lord, I'm praying, and he should pray. He had a plan. He already thought in his mind what God, he wanted, what he believed God wanted him to do. You know, a prepared person has a plan. Do you have a plan? Do you have a plan about what you're going to do tomorrow morning? Or you kind of get up and say, well, I'm going to see how it goes. Okay, now first question I'm going to ask you, are you retired? Because you might have that opportunity, obligation. But if you're not retired, dear friend, you ought to have, and you're not on vacation as we were last week, and that was good. That's why you take vacation every once in a while, so you don't have to worry about having a plan. But if you're a working person, you ought to have a plan. You got to get up in the morning at a certain time, doing a certain thing, have a schedule of events. How about schedule a time to spend time with God? Schedule a time of prayer. Schedule a time of reading His Word. Schedule a time to spend time with those you love. Schedule it. Man, you schedule everything else in your life. Shouldn't you schedule things that are righteous? Man, schedule things that are righteous. He had a plan. He wanted to do something for God. Look at verse 8. And a letter unto Asaph, the keeper of the forest, king's forest, that he may give me timber to make beams for the gates of the palace, which appertain into the house and the wall of the city and the house that I shall enter into. And the king granted me according to the good hand of my God upon me. God blessed him. He asked and he received. Isn't that what God wants us to do? It may seem impossible, but ask and you shall receive. Seek as you shall find. Knock and it shall be opened to you. A lot of times we say to yourselves, oh, that's so trivial. Well, dear friend, if God knows the hairs on our head and He knows if a sparrow falls, is there anything too trivial with God? Oh, man, I used to have tests and quizzes in school. I would pray, Lord, please, I hope that test will be simpler than I think it's going to be. Please, on visitation, let there be some folks home that when we knock on the doors are going to open. Please, before we travel on vacation, Lord, give us journey mercies. Put a hedge of a protection around us as we travel to wherever we travel to. Because, dear friend, 8 people die on those roads every day in Florida. Every day. We need a hedge of protection. He was saying, Nehemiah was explaining exactly what he needed. He was being honest and open and transparent with the king. And God worked through this heathen king and granted his request. So what can we learn about someone like this who's authentic, who's genuine, who's transparent? Well, let me give you a couple principles tonight. First of all, someone like this, there are people who realize that God's delays are not necessarily God's denials. They realize that God's delays are not necessarily God's denials. You know, we live in a world that we think because of our hurry up information, internet, everything got to be just right now, actually yesterday. We think, okay, God's the same way. God does not work on our timetable. We work on His timetable. See, today we think, well, man, I got 24 hours. I got to get it done. What if it's not God's will for you to get it done? You ever thought about that? You say, well, man, it's got to be, well, you know, maybe God has a reason why there's a delay. You know, first of all, ask God if it's His will for you to do it. Take time to ask God. Don't just jump into something and do it because you think you ought to do it. Have you asked God, is it His will for you to do it? And secondly, if it's something that's even bigger, maybe ask wisdom of other people. The Bible says there's wisdom in a multitude of counselors. I am amazed, Brother Eric, of the people I see make decisions and they don't ask anybody about the decisions they make. They just jump off and do it. They just jump off and move to different places. They just jump off and make horrible financial decisions, just crazy decisions, and they don't even ask anybody. Man, if I had financial issues, I'd go to Brother Pete. I'd go to Brother Eric. I'd go to some other godly men in this room who've used their finances for God. If I had questions about that, I'd go to men of God like Jimmy. I'd ask questions. Man, you just don't make decisions because it feels good. Well, dear friend, you won't wake up tomorrow morning and it don't feel so good because you're broke. When you can't eat, it don't feel good. Amen, Brother Richard. Amen, brother. But I see people. Man, I was on my way back to Gainesville. I was getting some gas at a Circle K. Guy got out. I got out. I was getting some pizza. I just confess all my sins. I was getting some pizza because I was too lazy to cook anything that night from vacation. I was getting some pizza. And as soon as I got it, some old boy came up to me and said, hey, can I sell you some tickets? And I knew that was going. I had a track in my hand. I said, I give you Jesus. He said, I don't want Jesus. I want some money. I said, all I can give you is Jesus. If you don't want Jesus, I got nothing else to you. He said, I can't believe you. You mean to say, oh, you want to tell me what Jesus? I said, the Bible says if a man going to work, he's got to, if he wants to eat, he's got to work. That's what the Bible says. Man. And man, you're walking around here with two legs, talking to everybody around us. If you can do that, you can get a job. If you can walk, if you can talk and think, then dear friend, you can do something to put food on your table. Why are you walking around begging people for money? There used to be a time when people were ashamed to act like that. But dear friend, they're not ashamed anymore. They're not ashamed. I mean, they'll come right up to you, right up in, almost up in your car, and ask you for something. Oh, man, person doesn't work, neither should they eat. Oh, my friend, sometimes in life, God's delays are his not denials. Wait on the Lord. It doesn't have to be right now. It doesn't have to be just this minute. Take the time to pray about it. Take the time to seek godly wisdom about it. You know, don't just jump off the ship and say, well, I'm gonna do it right now, and I'm determined to do it. Well, that's good to have that type of determination. But think about it. This man, Nehemiah, had been praying about this for 4 months. 4 months. But he had a burden about it 4 months ago. Why didn't he just go up to the king? Because it wasn't the time to go to the king. It wasn't the time. Oh, dear friend, be careful. Be careful. Ask God to give you direction. Ask him to give you wisdom about what to do and how to do it. Seek him in prayer and seek other godly people. Secondly, a genuine person, a real McCoy, is someone who refuses to accept the credit for the work that God has accomplished. The Bible says there in verse 8, letter went to Asaph, the king of the keeper of the king, forest, and he may give him the timber and make beams of the gates of the palace. What does it say in that last? It says, and the king granted me according to the good hand of my God upon me. He said, it wasn't me who did it. It was God who did it. That's why, dear friend, when someone starts thanking you for what you've done, and you know, whatever it may be, you know, the first thing you ought to think in your mind is praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Because if it wasn't for God, we couldn't see, we couldn't hear, we couldn't think. It's all because of God. Everything we have, everything we do, it's all God. He chooses to use us. He chooses to bless us. And thank God that he does. We ought to be thanking God, not thinking about what we've done. I heard about a man by the name of G. Gordon Liddy, released from prison from his involvement in a political scandal. He said, I found within myself all that I need and all I'll ever need. I'm a man of great faith, but my faith is in George Gordon Liddy. And he has never failed me. I guarantee you, Gordon Liddy will fail himself one of these days. Because, dear, we're prone to wonder, Lord, I feel it. Prone to leave the God I love. If you don't recognize your own frailties, dear friend, you got troubles. You got to be honest about yourself. You know, when you get yourself in trouble when you don't go to this book. Because when you go to this book and you read it honestly, I'm not talking about just out of duty. Okay, today I got to read 3 chapters. Tomorrow I got to read 3 chapters. Tomorrow I got to read three chapters. No, you go in and look into this word to get something out of it to nourish your soul. You see yourself. And when you see yourself as looking into a mirror, you begin to change. That's what we have to do, to look into it and change and ask God to conform us to the image of his dear son, Jesus Christ. But pray that prayer before you even begin to read his word. Lord, if there's any wicked way in me, show me through your word this morning. Help me to be conformed more to, I want to be more like you. Not like the heathens. I want to be more like you. Don't have faith in you, have faith in God. A genuine, authentic, down-to-earth, real believer never gets caught up what he or she has done or can do. Rather, like a man by the name of Samuel Logan Bringle, a great leader of the work of God several generations, he wrote, the axe cannot boast of the trees as cut down. It could do nothing but for the woodsman. He made it. He sharpened it. He uses it. The moment the woodsman throws the axe aside, it becomes only old iron. Oh, that I may never lose sight of this. Oh, who's doing the work in your life? It's not us, dear friend. It's God working in and through us. If Marty Moon ever accomplishes anything good in this life, it would only be because of Jesus Christ. It would only be because of Jesus Christ. Thank God that he loves us. Thank God that he wants to use us. What a privilege it is to be used of God, to be ambassadors of God. Can I ask you this question this evening, dear friends? Are you a genuine follower of God? Are genuine in your life? If you ask that question to the Lord this evening, Could you just say it and mean it with all your heart? Yes, Lord, I'm genuine. Maybe there's areas in your life where maybe you're not. Maybe things aren't what they should be. You know what the beautiful thing is? God, like that little song we used to sing, God's still working on me. Amen? He's still working on us. Sometimes we take 2 steps forward and 25 steps back. Sometimes what we want to do isn't exactly the opposite thing of what we do. Ask God to conform you. Ask Him to show you who you really are. Not what people say you are or what you think you are, but who you really are. And when He shows you, will you make a decision to choose to be different and to be more Christ-like in whatever area of life He shows you that you need to be? Father, we thank You for tonight. Thank You for Your holy word. Thank You for this man named Nehemiah who was so Christ-like, so humble. What a great picture of Christ and His humility, how He humbled Himself, became a servant, died on that old rugged cross, shed His blood so we could all have everlasting life. Oh, Lord, I pray, God, tonight, show us areas in our life where we could be closer to You. Forgive us where we fail You. Oh, God, help us to realize Your delays are not Your denials. Sometimes You are in the delay. Sometimes You want us to wait. Help us to trust You in the midst of the wait, in the midst of that process. Some are waiting on answered prayer. Some have heavy burdens tonight. Oh God, I pray You would answer that prayer according to Your perfect will. And help us, God, when we are allowed to do great things in Your name, never to accept the praise, but always say praise God and thank God for all He's done. Oh, maybe someone this evening here doesn't know Christ as your Savior. Dear friend, I pray you recognize you're a sinner and that only Christ can save you. The Bible says, God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son that whosoever believeth in Him should not perish but have everlasting life. Oh, dear friend, do you know Christ tonight? Has there been a time where you placed your faith in Him? Just like a time where you know you came to church, like a time you know you're going to eat. Has there been a time in your life where you asked Christ to save you? Oh, pray, friend, if you're not sure about that night, please come see me or my wife or someone in the church. We'd love to tell you how to be saved. But here tonight, dear Christian, how about you? Could you answer that question? Are you a genuine follower of God? Are you honest and open before God? God knows your heart tonight. You can't fool Him. He knows where you go. He knows what you think. He knows what you watch. He knows who you are. Are you honest and open before God? Head bowed, eyes closed, maybe tonight. Say, preacher, God revealed to me a night, something tonight. Maybe I didn't even talk about it. Maybe I didn't even discuss it. But God revealed something in my life tonight that I need to change. Would you pray for me that by the grace of God, I'd have the courage to do what God wants me to do this evening? Would you pray for me? Anybody like that tonight? Anybody at all? God showed me something tonight, maybe in an area of your life that you need to change. Let's stand to our feet this evening as the piano plays. Let's stand to our feet. If God has spoken to your heart, dear friend, the altar is open this evening. Maybe something, a burden. Maybe it's something you're waiting on, you've been praying about. The altar is open. Cast your burden to the Lord and He will sustain you. Maybe it's a trouble. Maybe it's a trial. Would you come? A difficulty. A problem. Cry out to God this evening. He hears your prayer. He cares. Would you come? Whatever the need, whatever the trouble, whatever the trial, would you come? Maybe not praying for you, but maybe praying for someone else. Maybe someone you know, a friend, a brother, a sister, cousin, aunt, uncle, somebody in your church is going through something. Would you beg God for them this evening? Maybe you're going through some financial issue or some physical issue. Would you ask God to help you tonight? Maybe you can't see a way. You can't see a way to pay that bill, to pay that mortgage. Oh, God can provide. Do you trust Him that He can? Yes, God helps those who help Himself. Are you willing to trust Him, though? Come to the altar. Ask God to help you. Gracious Father, we're just again, we're so thankful for you, for your word. Thankful that we can read it, study it, and meditate on it. Thankful we can come tonight on this Wednesday night and gather around your word and learn some important principles from it. Thank you for the life of Nehemiah and his faith in you. I pray, God, you'd help us to have the character of a man like that. I pray that you would show us areas in our life that need to change. Oh God, help us not to be fearful. Help us to be trusting. Help us, Lord, to be honest and open and transparent about our lives. Help us not to be secretive and trying to be manipulative. Oh, God, help us to live in the light of your word and be honest and open, no matter what it costs. Help us to be honest and open before you. Help us to keep our life, Lord, in such a way that, God, that would be pleasing in your sight. Forgive us, God, when we fail you. And help us, Lord, to be quick to confess our sins, Lord, to you and to others, Lord, that we might be healed. Bless tonight. Thank you for all that has come, Lord. And I pray you'd meet every need that's represented in this church.